This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is and you already know the vibes. Shout out to Chandra Douglas Morgan. She becomes the first black woman to serve as team president for the Raiders. Now, when you think about all the drama that the Raiders have been through last season and everything that they had to overcome, so for them to do this, this is pretty historic. I think Adam Silver said it best, which is the commissioner of the NBA. I can't wait until there's a time where this isn't a highlight, right? Where this isn't something we have to sit there and say, like, wow, I can't believe they did that. You know, I'm a firm believer in the best person should get the job. And that's plain and simple. But shout out to the Raiders for being the first. Now they're always going to be remembered for this. So that's pretty awesome. So there's a lot going on. As you know, Baker Mayfield, right, has been traded to the Panthers. You already know Sam Darnold is there. So it looks like they're going to be fighting over that starting job, which is also interesting because guess what? Week one of the regular season, the Browns are going to be playing the Panthers. That is going to be crazy. Because one thing about, I know I've always said, you know, Baker Mayfield is average quarterback, and obviously he is, but I think he is going to not only earn that starting job, I believe he is going to shine. Because one thing we do know about Baker is when it comes to adversity, when you tell him he can't do something, he doesn't just do it. He just overdoes it. He kills it. And let's be honest, the Browns, not really sure about their quarterback situation at this point, right? And you just put Baker Mayfield in the ideal situation in terms of you're fighting for your life, right? Meaning, this is his last shot to prove that he's a starter. You saw the minute that he was available and teams were doing everything that they could to trade him, and nobody was calling. Nobody was really giving them, you know, anything to really work with. Nothing that you're really going to pick up the phone for. Maybe you'll pick up the phone, but you're not really hearing the offer because the offers were just ridiculous because you know what you're getting. And if a team is so desperate to give him up, you're not going to be so quick to take him. But there are some teams that are just deaf. But I honestly thought that he was going to go to the Seahawks, but we'll see what their situation plays out. But that's just going to be a really interesting game. I hope you guys are going to watch that game. Like, I know we're at the point where we're itching for football season, right? NFL, it's like, it's just around the corner. It's like that bittersweet because, you know, when the NFL is on, summer ends. So it's like bittersweet, but bring on the football. I'm ready. It's gonna be a lot of fun, but there's a lot of other things going on in the NBA. As you know, Kevin Durant, you already know he wants to trade, and we've already discussed about how I feel about it. I know some people are still in their feelings about it, or some people want to completely blame Kevin Durant because he's the one who orchestrated the whole situation, but I don't necessarily feel that way. I've already told you how I felt. It's probably a lot. And somebody actually brought up an interesting point, too. They were like, Ben Simmons, you know, and the Nets not seeming to do anything with him in terms of a trade. And they said that maybe that could be one of the reasons why Kevin Durant maybe just kind of wants to just be done with it. On top of the whole Kyrie thing. Who knows? I mean, that's a good point because, yeah, Kevin Durant has his own podcast and things, and I get that's not what he said, but these guys are not transparent. Like they don't always tell the truth. They just tell you what they want you to know. And that's fair, but then that leaves things open for speculation, right? Because that's just how it works. But at the end of the day, right now, his trade request is just that, just a request. There are teams that, of course, they're going to pick up the phone because you're talking about arguably one of the best in the league right now, right? Most talented to ever do it. One of the, you know. So, of course, you're going to pick up the phone, and the last phone call they had was with the Timberwolves, and they were like, nah, man, we're not doing that. I mean, ask yourself, are you willing to mortgage your future for Kevin Durant, 34 years old, Achilles, got swept in the playoffs, you know, appeared to be exhausted. Yes, there was a lot of drama going on with the Nets, so mental, physical, emotional exhaustion is to be expected. But I'm just asking, like, would you do it? You know, if you're the Celtics, if you're the Timberwolves, or, you know, if you're that young and right there, now don't get me wrong, Boston was literally right there, but Minnesota adding Rudy Gobert, that is going to be interesting. Now, on paper, we're just talking about paper right now because they didn't actually play together yet. Rudy Gobert just took a couple pictures with his jersey on, you know, so calm down. I'm just saying on paper because that's all we got to work with. I am, however, worried about chemistry. Now, Donovan Mitchell over in Utah seems to be, I don't know him, but all reports, the way he carries himself, seems pretty genuine, pretty chill, pretty, you know, into his work ethic, all-star, you know. I mean, but they couldn't get along. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, there was something there, right? I know they tried to just dismiss it, and respectably so. Like, at the end of the day, it's just basketball. They never claimed to be besties, right? They never complained to be boys, so I got you. Like, that's cool. Point is, it didn't work. It's true. When you are trying to build a championship caliber team, you do have a small window. It really is. And that's like the hardest thing, right? I mean, that's the hardest thing in life, honestly. Trying to figure out whether you need to go harder at something or whether you need to be like, let's scrap this and just blow it up, change it, get rid of these guys, trade them, you know, whatever. So they decided to split up the core, right? That makes Donovan Mitchell a little wary because I know that he expressed some concerns to the organization saying, okay, we just gave up this guy, but I don't really see how this makes us better. But we don't know what else they plan on doing in the future. So that's just that for right now. As for the Timberwolves and their new acquisition, and when you think about a stud like Anthony Edwards, right? And you're thinking about Cat, and, you know, I feel like he's there. Like, there were some games where I was like, wow, where you can kind of clearly see that, you know, Anthony Edwards is clearly the face of the Timberwolves, and he's the one who gets the crowd going, right? He's that guy, right? But Cat needs to be that guy too, you know, more consistently in those big games when you need it. Trying to figure out the D'Angelo Russell situation. I don't know. Honestly, I thought he was going to get traded, but but we'll see. I'm trying to see how that dynamic's going to work, but from a talent standpoint, that's lethal. Because the number one thing that the Timberwolves needed to work on was defense. They were, like, worse than defense. They would have leads late down the stretch. You know, I watched a good chunk of their season. And a lot of their games, it was really just on the defensive end where they were just lackadaisical. I mean, the turnovers were crazy, too. But mainly on the defense, there just wasn't much of an emphasis there. And that's how they would end up losing the game. Because when they're up by like 10, 15 in the second half, even into the fourth, they're just blowing it, right? So with the new addition of Rudy Gobert being a defensive player, right, that's going to make a big difference. That's going to make a big difference, like, I'm just imagining a series with the Timberwolves and the Pelicans and them going head-to-head. Like, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, that's going to be a really good series. Or even if we get lucky enough to see like a Memphis, you know, and the Timberwolves, just seeing how they match up together, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And the way that they mesh, chemistry, I'm telling you, that matters. I keep telling people this and they keep looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, it matters. It starts with the culture, though, of the team. What are you hanging your hat on? Like, what are you guys going to be? You know, Miami, we already know Miami culture, right? I think we've spoken about that in nauseam, or just everybody in general, but you need to have something to hang your hat on. Like, Boston, you know what you're getting. Defense. You know what you're getting with them. You know. And they're, the fact that they can guard so many different positions, it's just about having an identity. That's going to be the biggest difference. It's not necessarily just trying to get an all-star and seeing how they'll just mess with your team. The way that they'll mesh with your team really depends on the culture, and it depends on the chemistry. They have to be able to buy in. So then in turn, you have to think about the coach. What is the coach bringing to the table? Right? Is he going to hold guys accountable? Does he have guys in the lineup that are going to hold each other accountable? Those are all questions that need to be addressed. Because that's a young locker room. You know, the Minnesota Timberwolves were they're a young team. Promising. You know, but that's why they were making a lot of silly mistakes, right? But that's okay, because now you can see that their goal is to become more defensive minded. Now they got rid of some veterans, right? Now whether you like Pat Bev or not, they did get rid of a veteran. Didn't always act like a veteran, right? Right after that. Yeah, like after winning and that play-in and celebrating like they were the Warriors. Like, if you watch those films now, you'll sit there and compare them. Like, wait, it was Golden State that won, right? Why were they over there? But point is, they do need somebody in that locker room to act like they've been there before. It would be nice if they had like a, you know, an Avery Bradley type, you know, or even a guy like Eric Gordon, you know, kind of showing them how to go about your business. Now, even Al Horford, right? I know. I'm not trying to take him away, but I'm just saying, like, those things matter. You gotta think about that when it comes to just adding guys to a team and how they're going to mesh and things of that nature. And the Lakers, Darvin Ham, Greg Pop, disciple, right? Listen, I like the fact that he already has a plan for Russell Westbrook. I like the fact that he's already sat down with Russ to kind of discuss what his role is going to be in order to make him successful, because I think that was the key all along. You know what I mean? Like, if you have your point guard and your head coach seeing eye to eye, that's half the battle right there. Now, of course, they just have to execute. But at least you already know they're on the same page. Your floor general is on the same page with your leader. That's what you want. So that's big. That's huge. That's going to say a lot. I like the fact that the Lakers have made some moves to get themselves deeper, you know, get some more shooting. I believe that was Juan. Just got traded from Golden State, right? A champion. Played with Steph, played with Klay Thompson, played with Draymond. So understands a winning culture. Understanding guys with different temperaments, different personalities, and knowing how to navigate that, right? That's key, especially when you're a young guy. I think he paid attention, and we'll see what's next. But obviously when you're playing with LeBron, the stakes are high. Really high. And not to say that they weren't high with Golden State, but it's just a little bit more pressure. You know how the Lakers are definitely going to be on the limelight. It's just what it is. It's like the Cowboys, right? They're just in the limelight. So if things are not going right, the world's going to know. But if things are going well, the world's still going to know. It's just the way it is. I'm still waiting for other teams to make other moves because Kyrie, we have no idea where he's going to go. Some people are of the belief that Kyrie and KD are not going anywhere, which I find to be strange. I don't know if I find that more strange or the fact that these two want to actually play together somewhere else. But I don't even want to indulge that because that's just mind-boggling to me because I don't even know if I want to understand that, to be honest with you. Like, if I'm being really honest, I don't even know if I want to understand that. That just sounds so, like, okay. Like, I don't know. It just seems like if you're going to get it done anywhere, it should have just been in Brooklyn like you had started. You know, I don't feel the organization did anything wrong. They were going with the flow, too. It's like everybody wants us to understand what Kyrie was going through, even though the whole world was going through it as well, right? And so was the organization, right? So did they do everything perfect? No, but they weren't expecting this either. They did the best they can, right? They were trying to do what's best for the team. That's what organizations do. They didn't want to mess up the chemistry by letting Kyrie play part-time. Then they realized the team was struggling, and not to mention, you know, Kevin was, you know, either out or, you know, getting exhausted, and James Harden, you know, was like, I'm out. You know, it's, and then they found out Ben wasn't even going to play. It was a lot. Like, that's a lot. And then they decided, you know what? Let him play. You know, it's a lot. And then at the end of the season, you know, when it's time to get deals done for long term, you know, players want stability. And I'm sure the organization wanted to give, you know, Kyrie some of what he wanted, but just not all. I'm sure there was, you know, definitely a pay for play type of situation with incentives, kind of like they did something like that with Zion Williamson, you know, because of his injuries and things of staying healthy, you know, just different things. Just making sure we're on the same page. Like, we're going to pay you, but we need to see that you're going to be on the floor. Like, we got to protect ourselves too. And that wasn't okay with Kyrie or Kevin Durant. And it's like, all right, I don't see the problem, but, you know, they have their side of it. And there's reality. I mean, there's really no other way to put that. I mean, but I'm sure there's going to be more drama to follow. And we'll be listening. But anyway, but I did mention that Zion Williamson, he did get his extension done. And I heard that he actually has a new chef that's going to make sure he is right, stays right. Which is, that's huge. That's a big move. I mean, that's something that I was always concerned about, even when he left Duke, you know, with the injuries and understanding an NBA season is taxing. It's 82 games. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Understanding at the weight that he was at, it just spelled trouble. Simple. You know, I know he's young and he's like, I'm used to playing with this weight and yada. True, you're right. But you're not used to playing in the NBA on NBA speed with dudes that can play too? That's different. You know, so shout out to you, Zion. Shout out to you for realizing that, you know what? You did it your way. It didn't work out. And now you're trying another way. It's called life, right? Called growing up. I think the Pelicans are going to be just fine. CJ McCollum has been playing like crazy. Like, dude was balling. He looks better than he did the Blazers, but obviously he was balling with the Blazers too. Like, I like that good veteran leadership. I have a feeling he's going to, you know, take this team, guide this team, and get them where they need to go. And I'm going to be watching a lot of Pelicans games. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm not sure if you guys have been watching any summer league, but I've been watching because I'm really interested in this guy, Chet, right? So Chet kind of reminds me, he has like the Kevin Durant frame, you know, he plays for OKC. He's got the handles crazy. The way he can shoot, the way he can create his own shot. What is he like, 7'2"? Like, it's crazy. Like, everybody's worried about his body, but okay, that's going to get there within time, you know. And I'm really interested to see what position he's going to play, right? Because that matters. That matters. His lateral movement, you know, if he's going to be in a smaller, like if he's like a 3, and the way he's able to move at that size, that's going to be, they say a good rule of thumb is if you're going to play the position, you got to be able to guard the position. And that's just what it is. Now, his first game, everybody wants to look at the stats, but no, I just loved his skill set. What he was able to do with the rock was incredible. Like, these big dudes that can handle the rock like that, create their own shot, you can't block that. So that's why I think Kevin Durant, like, that's crazy. But on the other hand, you saw it was kind of like bully ball the other night, the way he was being manhandled, right, in the paint, because you can just move him out the way. So, and that's just summer league. You know, I don't put too much stock into summer league because summer league is a bunch of guys that are obviously trying to prove themselves, you know, and these guys that were just drafted, especially the lottery guys, they're just warming up. They're just getting the feel for it. But at the end of the day, they're not playing with elite NBA talent like they will be when the regular season starts on a night-in or night-out basis. So you can't really put too much stock in it, but you can look at their skill set. Like, their skill set is not going to change. Like, Chet, he's going to be doing that in the regular season. But the only thing is they're going to be giving it to him on the other end. So, you know what I mean? So when you have him out there, depending on where you have him at, like if he's in the 4 or 5 position, now it's going to be just straight bully ball, right? So it's going to be interesting. Is he going to be giving up just as many points as he's going to be giving? Like, that's the number one thing I'm going to be looking at. Jabari, if I'm saying his name right, Smith Jr., and Bancaro, heard they're supposed to be heading up in the regular season, so that should be fun to watch. Man, I miss the NBA. I don't know about you, but anyway, I got to give love to my supporters. I appreciate y'all. Hit me up on my IG, TheRippleEffect_KDOT, and we can chat about any topic you would like. Shout out to my number one supporter. I don't know who you are, but if you hit me in my inbox, I can figure it out so that way I can give you some merch. Guys, if you want merch, hit me up. I got you. But guys, you already know what it is. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, KDOT, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.